Let's pray and begin. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning that we can gather together. Lord, even as we can't be in your house together, Lord, we can gather together online. And Lord, just gather together as a church family and open up the word of God and just gather together around our Savior, Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, I pray that today would be a blessing, that this morning would be a blessing to each and every one as we seek to worship thee, to live for thee, and to just help one another as a church family, that you might be glorified and that the world might come to know Jesus Christ, their Savior. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. I don't think I'll ever get used to doing this online this way. My hands are shaking. I'm nervous. I shouldn't be, but I am, because it's just not normal. And you know, that makes me think. I my prayer, my hope is that that sitting at home and watching a service via the computer will never become normal to us, that we will always have a desire to be together in person with God's people. And that's important. And I think it's, you'll see this morning as we open up the Word of God, how important it is to be together. And so as we're all in our homes this morning, I do want to take this opportunity as your pastor to encourage you, each and every one of you, to just start coming out again to church. To just start coming out again and gathering together. I know it's been a difficult couple of years, but honestly, you need to try your best to be in church, in the presence of God's people, around God's people. It's very important, and that not only to hear the preaching of the Word of God, for yes, you can do that via the internet, but to be with God's people. For what a blessing it is, what an encouragement it is. You know, not only as we gather together during service times, but so many other times, the fellowship and just the in-person fellowship with one another is so precious and helpful. I know that how many times the ladies that serve together in the nursery, what a blessing it is for ladies just to have that hour time of fellowship as they serve the Lord together. The men just stacking wood in the woodshed the other night. What a great time of fellowship as we just passed wood one to another in a line and threw it into the woodshed. Or this afternoon, around noontime, getting together to clear the church parking lot of all the snow. And there's so many times that it's just great to see one another and encourage one another. And that's actually what the message is all about this morning in Philippians chapter 1. If you'll take your Bible this morning and turn to Philippians chapter 1, and as you turn there, I want you to know that one of the struggles I have with doing this online is, how do you set up for doing it online? You know, I've set up before in the living room, I've set up in an office room, I've put a podium there and stood up, and this morning I just, you know, I'm just gonna get together with the folks and I'm just gonna set up like you set up. And so I have my cup of coffee, I have my Bible, and I'm just gonna share some things from the Word of God this morning. And so Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 27, the Bible says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which ye saw in me, and now here to be in me. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I pray that you just help us as we open up your word this morning to hear from you and to learn from thee. Lord, I pray for your spirit, that your spirit would work in our hearts and our lives as individuals, as families, and as a church family. For your glory in Jesus' precious name, amen. You know, the book of Philippians, Paul writes from a prison cell, and it's a short book. It's only four chapters, and yet it's packed with so much help for the Christian in how to live, but also for the church, how to live as a church family. The church is more than just a schedule of events or a schedule of programs. The church, we are a family. And the more we spend time together over the years, the closer we get knit together as a family. And we get to know each other better. And we just become closer and closer. And that's the importance of a church. That's the importance of a church family. And that's why it's so important that we be personally together in many ways and many times. And we're going to see that here in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 27 down through verse 30. Paul writes to them, and he's hoping that he'll be able to meet with them again in verse number 25. Having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of the faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. And Paul's hoping to gather together with them again, but he also knows the reality that he might not be able to, because he says in verse 27, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, he says, I might never make it there again. I might not be able to. But he says, you're going to continue on as a church. And he says, I want to speak to you as a church family, as individuals within the body of Christ and a local church family about the importance of living for Christ and helping one another to live for Christ. And that's what we're going to see this morning in these verses. Because as Paul writes in every chapter of Philippians, there's only four chapters, but in every chapter, in chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, Paul speaks about the pressure of living as a Christian. He's in prison. He's in bondage. He speaks about his bonds in Christ. But then he goes on and speaks about just the added pressure of in verse 15 of chapter 1. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife, some also of goodwill. The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds. Paul says there's a pressure from that side. You go to chapter 2, and look what he says in verse 15. They may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. And the pressure of living as a Christian in this world, you know, the world, the nature of the world has not changed. Yes, we've seen a change in many things in society, but in reality, Paul says, you're living in a crooked and perverse nation, and we are living in a crooked and perverse nation. Our world and the United States of America, as wonderful it is, the culture of society is a culture of sin because people don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And it's crooked and it's perverse. And every day you get up and you go to work and you work with people that are not saved, that do not have the mind of Christ, do not have the desire to live for Christ. And it's a crooked and perverse world and culture in which we live. And Paul writes about that. And then he writes in chapter 3, finally, my brethren, verse 1, rejoice in the Lord to write the same things to you, Indeed, it's not grievous, but for you it's safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of concision. And now he speaks of people that are trying to confuse and twist the scriptures. And there's pressures in this day in which we live from false doctrine and wrong teaching. And you know, the problem with false doctrine and false teaching is they want to try and just convince everybody that they're right. And they're not more concerned with seeking souls and seeing people saved. They're more concerned with messing with your Christian life in a very practical sense. And then he says in chapter 4, and he says, besides that, we still have the pressure of just getting along with one another within the family, just as you have your own family and your extended family. And you know how difficult that is, because every one of us is different. In chapter 4, he said, I beseech Euodias and beseech Syntyche that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And he says all of these things create just challenges to living the Christian life. And come to chapter 1 and verse number 27. And he says, whether I come to you or I'm not able to come to you, he says, I want to hear a good testimony about you. I want to hear a good report about you. I want to hear that you're doing well in the Christian life. I want to hear that you're glorifying God in your life as an individual, as families, and as a church. And he says, I want to help you with that. So he says this in verse number 27. And the first thing he mentions, we're going to break it down into 3 points. Verse 27 is the gospel conversation. The gospel conversation, because he says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And he first mentions having a gospel conversation. We'll speak about that. But in verse 28, he also speaks about having a gospel confidence. And then in verse 29, verse 30, he says a gospel conflict. So a gospel conversation, a gospel confidence, and a gospel conflict. So let's just dive right in and see what he says here. Verse 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. Let's just stop right there and say, well, Paul, what do you mean? You mean just my verbal conversation? That word conversation actually means, it comes from the root word meaning to be a citizen. And it speaks of being a citizen. You know, when you travel to different places, when you travel, and I have the privilege of traveling to some different places, and two very unique are we traveled to Romania, and we spent time amongst the gypsies. I've traveled to Peru and spent time in different portions of Peru. And, you know, the interesting thing is that when you go to different countries and different places, there's different cultures. The gypsies of Romania live a certain way. In Peru, there's a difference in culture. I mean, for example, when we say the word football, we're talking about American football. In Peru, when you say the word football, they're talking about soccer. And so there's a different culture there. And they think we're crazy for watching football. And we might think they're crazy for, you know, thinking much of soccer. But there's a different culture. There's different cultures in the United States. Each city has a unique culture, if you will. There's a difference between Waterford and New London and Willimantic, very different cultures in each one of those places. And we live in different cultures. But he's speaking about a new culture, the culture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Colossians, chapter 1, Paul writes this. In verse 13, speaking of Jesus Christ, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us unto the kingdom of his dear Son. And just as he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, we're new creatures in Christ. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He says now we're living in a different culture. It's the culture of the gospel. And the way we live, the manner in which we live, the manner in which we respond to people or react to circumstances, the reality of our life ought to reflect the culture of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What is the gospel? That Jesus Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, was buried, and rose again, according to the scriptures. And he died for us so that we might be forgiven of our sins, so that we might have a relationship with God, so that we might live in a manner which is pure and holy and glorifies the Lord Jesus Christ and glorifies God. And he enables us to do that by his Spirit that lives within us. He teaches us the manner in which we live through the Word of God. For instance, in the book of Ephesians, it tells us in Ephesians, and it's a very important passage of Scripture. He says in verse 5, be there followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us. And in Philippians chapter 1, he says, I want to hear of your conversation. I want to hear of your life. I want to hear of your citizenship, that you're no longer a citizen of this world, even though you're still here, but you're a citizen of heaven. And your life shows and reflects the difference that Jesus Christ has made in your life. But then he goes on to say this, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. And now he's going to expand upon it, and he's going to expand upon the church and the family that we belong to as a church. Lakes Pond Baptist Church is a family. And he says, I want to encourage you in this regard, because he says, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And here he's not only speaking to individuals, but he's speaking to individuals within the church, individuals with the church family, and the importance of each one of our lives individually in regard to helping one another live for the Lord. You see, in verse number 27, he says that you may stand fast in one spirit, that we would have the same beliefs, that we would stand together in one spirit. And he's gonna expand upon this in Philippians chapter 2. But he says that you stand fast in one spirit. But then he says this, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. And that word striving is a word that means to be diligent, working together, helping one another. And what he's speaking about is that when I live my life for Jesus Christ, that my life being lived for Jesus Christ, and when I seek to live a life that reflects and is true to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and is in obedience with the word of God, and glorifies Christ and glorifies God, and lives in a manner which lines up with the word of God, not only does it glorify God, not only does it benefit me, but it is a help to others in the church. When you live for the Lord, you need to understand that your living for the Lord is a help to other people to live for the Lord. And my living for the Lord is a help to you to live for the Lord. And this is why it's so important to gather together within the church family, to encourage one another, just to see one another, to pray one for another, to love one another, to speak kindly one to another, just to be friendly one to another. The Bible says, by this shall all men know that you're my disciples, if you love one for another. And we're to edify one another. We're to help one another, to encourage one another. Because you know what? When you step out on a Monday morning and you go back to work, you're going to be amongst the world, a crooked and perverse nation. And we need so much the fellowship and the encouragement and the help from one another. And that's what he's saying in verse 27, that our conversation would become the gospel of Christ, that it would be after the manner of the gospel of Christ, that we would be Christians that live according to the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that it would be a help one to another. This morning after I get done, and around 12 o'clock, there's going to just be a lot of people going to get together at the church. But we're not going to get together and sing hymns or open the Word of God. We're going to get together to clean the church up from all the snow. And you might think, well, what's so important about that? Well, number one, we need to get the church open from the snow. But number two, it's just a blessed time of fellowship, serving the Lord with one another, getting together on Wednesday afternoon down in New London to just work on getting that building really ready to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, or walking on the streets and telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only are we serving the Lord, but the fellowship as we serve the Lord is so important, and it's so precious, and it's so helpful, and it's so encouraging. And so he speaks about being a help one to another, that you stand fast with one spirit, but with one mind, striving together, helping one another within the church family to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, lifting up each other's hands, strengthening one another, encouraging one another, helping one another to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, and how important it is. Because then he goes on to something else in verse number 28. Verse 27, it's about the gospel conversation. Verse 28, though, he says about the gospel confidence, the gospel confidence. And he says, in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Oh, we have adversaries. There's a lot of adversaries out there. But he says, in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition. And he's saying, it's obvious, your adversaries, it's obvious they're not saved. It's obviously they don't know Jesus Christ. But your confidence and your walking with God and you're living according to the gospel is also evident of something. It's evident of your salvation and that of God. But he says this, in nothing terrified. And here's where we need to have confidence. I wonder how many times Paul had gone back and read Psalm 37. I want you to turn back there, Psalm 37. It's a passage of scripture that is so important. And it gives us the scriptural foundation for trusting in God in this world in which we live, amongst our adversaries. Psalm 37, verse number 1. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as a green herb. And you know what the Bible is saying there? It's saying, listen, don't worry about your enemies. Don't worry about your adversaries. God says, I've got it. I can handle it. I'll take care of it. But here's what you need to do. Number one, trust in the Lord and do good. Psalmist says, trust in the Lord and do good. In other words, believe God, trust God, live for God, live according to the Word of God, live according to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Number two, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. And the Lord says, just delight in me. Oh, don't let your delight be in the world. Don't let your delight be in other things. He said, delight in me. Love me. Delight in me, and I'll give you the desires of your heart. Look what he says in verse 5. Commit thy way unto the Lord. If you're trusting in God, then commit your way. Commit your steps. Commit your day. Commit your purpose. Commit your life. Commit your future. Commit everything to the Lord. What did Paul say? Paul said, I'm not going to be ashamed. I know whom I have believed in, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Paul says, I've trusted my life. I've committed my life to the Lord. And here it says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. And so the psalmist says, trust in the Lord and do good. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your way unto the Lord and rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. And when Paul writes to the church at Philippi, he says, don't be terrified by your adversaries. Don't be terrified. Be like David. Came up against a Goliath and says, hey, Goliath, you might be big, you might be strong, and you're certainly ugly. But you know what? You're not waging war against me. You're defying the armies of the living God. Your battle is with God. And I'm just going to trust God to take care of his battles. And I'm going to trust God to take care of my life. And we need to encourage one another. That's why, once again, we need to gather together, just to encourage one another that we're standing fast in one spirit, striving for the faith of the gospel, and being confident that our God is not only able to take care of us, but is taking care of us. And he is taking care of us, folks. As I said, this year, we're going to look for God to do great things. And I've seen God do great things. I've seen God answer prayer. I've seen God work. And I know God is working. And that's why we gather together once again. But he says, not only do we have a gospel conversation, but we have a gospel confidence. A gospel confidence that we can trust God and know that God will take care of us. But we also have a gospel conflict. And Paul here, he's not speaking about the conflict primarily with being in bonds. He's speaking about the conflict that he spoke about in verse number 23. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Paul says, you know, it's given on the behalf of Christ in verse 29, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. The Bible says, yea, all that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. John chapter 16, Jesus said, you know, in this world, it's guaranteed, in this world, you're going to have tribulation. He says, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. This is a victory that overcometh the world, Paul said. John says in 1 John chapter 5. The victory is our faith. In fact, Jesus said this in, Peter said this of Jesus in 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 2. For even hereunto, in verse 21, where he called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example, that you should follow his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth, who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. And so we should expect that we are going to face, and we do face, difficult and challenging times and circumstances because of our faith. And in these days, we are seeing that. We've been blessed in our locality not to face the challenges and the tribulations that many are facing in other parts of the world to a greater degree. But that does not mean we're exempt. And Paul says you're going to have tribulation. Jesus Christ says you're going to have tribulation. You are going to suffer. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be times, whether it's in the workplace or whether it's in your location, whether it's a church or individuals, family. The Bible says there's going to be times when you're going to be called upon to suffer for his sake, for Jesus Christ. And boy, I tell you what, it says here, it's given in the behalf of Christ. And we should look upon, not that we should look forward to it, not that we should look for it, not that we should make ourselves an obvious target, if you will. But God says, you know what? You should count it a privilege when you are called upon to suffer for Jesus Christ, to endure affliction. But Paul says this, having the same conflict we saw in me, and now here to be in me. And Paul says, you know, and this is why, you know, to depart and be with Christ, well, of course it would be far better. Of course it would be far better. Of course it's far better. At his right hand are pleasures forevermore. There's joy in the presence of God. He's going to make everything new. There's no sin in heaven. There's only the glory and the majesty and the purity of God and being the presence of God. Of course, it is infinitely better to be with Christ where Christ is right now. But remember this, Paul said, but for me right now, it's more needful. It's more needful in verse 24 for you. And you know, sometimes we think, and rightly so, we think, well, it's no more needful for me to be here because of the gospel. And that is one aspect of it. It's more needful to be here for the gospel of Jesus Christ, to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you know, it's also more needful for me to be here and for you to be here, to be a help and a blessing to one another. It's more needful for me to be here, to be a help and a blessing to one another, so that my life, my prayer, my example can be a help to you, and your help and your life and your prayer and your encouragement can be a help to me in my life. You might think, well, you're the pastor. Listen, let me tell you something. The pastor needs as much help and encouragement and fellowship in my life as you do, because I'm a human being just like you are. And I wake up in the morning and I've got to brush my teeth just like you do, hopefully. And I have to walk the walk and live the life just like you do. And Paul says, you know what? You're a church family. He said, in fact, in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 21, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. And when Paul writes in Romans and 1 Corinthians, when he writes in the book of Ephesians, he says that every one of us are members in particular. Every one of us are important in the body of Christ. Every one of us are important in the family, in the local church family. Every one of us is important, not only to God, not only to Christ, but to one another. You're important to me. And we're important one to another to help one another to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so my encouragement to you this morning is to be a blessing and help one to another. And the main part of that, the main manner of that, is by being with one another. And that's why my prayer is that we get the church parking lot opened up this afternoon so that we can get together tonight and come into the house of God that will be nice and warm, because when you guys get out there to shovel, make sure you fill the wood stove too, okay? And it'll be nice and warm, and we can gather together in a beautiful place that God has given to us and lift up our voices and sing hymns of praise unto the Lord and open up the Word of God and hear the Word of God preached and then just greet one another and talk to one another, not to rush in and not to rush out, not to come and sit and not be seen or heard, but no, to fellowship one with another. Because over in the little book of 1 John chapter 1, here's what John writes. That which was from the beginning we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifest, and we have seen it. We bear witness and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard, declare unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. And so I'm looking forward to this afternoon, the fellowship that the church family will have just in getting the church opened up and the snow cleared up. I'm looking forward to the fellowship that we'll have tonight, gathering together as a church family to just encourage one another in the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to the fellowship on Wednesday afternoon as we get together in New London to begin to reach that city with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm looking forward to the fellowship we'll have on Wednesday night and once again at prayer meeting. And my encouragement to you, my challenge to you, my prayer for you is that you would just, that each one of us would purpose in our heart that we're going to do everything we can by the grace of God to gather together, to fellowship as a church family in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word this morning, Lord. I trust it's been a blessing and encouragement to us, a help to us. Lord, I pray that you'd strengthen our church family. Lord, that our fellowship was sweet, that we would have be a help one to another, encouragement one to another, as we all, by the grace of God, endeavor to live for the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' precious name. Amen.